honestly not why I'm standing up here today. I don't want to give you a pep talk and make you feel good about yourself so you can walk out and be like, yeah, I'm beautiful. I do want to talk to you about the process of becoming beautiful, though. And I'm not going to, you know, tell you that you need to do some P90X, any weight loss programs, beauty treatments, nothing like that. I want to talk to you about becoming spiritually beautiful. Now, this does take a little bit of effort on our part, such as being in our word, praying, and fellowshipping with each other and other believers. But despite all of that, there will still be things in our lives that we can't get rid of. They're ugly. Sorry. We all have ugly things. We're not pretty. And those things in our present life, they mean nothing. But in our past, they were everything, and they defined who we were. And those things need to be destroyed and forever taken out of our lives. This passage says that God will trade our ashes for beauty. Well, if we have ashes, they had to have come from somewhere. So where did we get them? And if we're holding on to them, why are they so important to us? One of my favorite bands is Disciple. Now, I understand that not everyone in this room appreciates the beauty of screaming and music, so I'm not going to make you listen to this song. But I love them because they have a scripture reference after almost every single line of their lyrics. And one I want to point out to you is in their song Someday, they have a line that says, well, they say that you make beauty out of ash, but something has to burn before you can. I'm going to say that one more time. They say that you make beauty out of ash, but something has to burn before you can. The first time I heard that, I literally almost ran a red light driving. It surprised me. It caught me off guard. I've been taught, you know, well, yeah, God makes our past beautiful, and he makes beauty out of ashes, but I never really thought about the fact that, well, ashes do have to come from somewhere, right? And what makes ash? It's fire. Now, there's two kinds of people in this room right now. Half the room just heard fire and went, oh, that's fun, and I want to play with it. The other half was like, oh, this is a sermon. She's talking about ashes. So you immediately went to, like, Satan or hell or something like that. Am I allowed to say hell from up here? I just did twice. But really, the ashes in our lives, they don't come from Satan's fire. Not most of the time. Sometimes they do, but if you look into the Bible and you look up all the references of fire, most of them point to our God. For example, in Deuteronomy 4:24 and Hebrews 12:29, it says that our God is a consuming fire. In Deuteronomy 4:33, it says that the voice of God is heard coming out of fire. Deuteronomy 9:3 says that God goes before his people in battle like a devouring fire. You got it. Good job. David wrote a psalm of praise after a battle in Gath. They defeated the Philistines, and he describes God like this. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. I've got one more, just in case you didn't catch that it's about God and his fire. One more. Isaiah 33. The prophet is describing destruction on those who have been living in sin and they've turned from God. Isaiah 33:14 says, the sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with this everlasting burning? God's fire is bringing destruction on these people. He's coming to destroy the sin of the land, to destroy things that they have let into their lives that shouldn't be there, that are distracting them from their God. And his fire will come in, and it will destroy the unrighteous, and it will leave behind nothing but rubble and ash. See, sometimes we have sin in our lives too, and sin never comes without consequences. I don't care if you think you got away with it. I don't care if nobody in the entire world saw you do it. God sees it. And God brings punishment on our sins. And that punishment may very well bring some sort of destruction into your life, or mine. But destruction isn't always a bad thing. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the demolition of a building, but when there's an old building that's useless and too old for people to walk into, or it's been abandoned, they destroy it. They blow it up and rubble and clear it out, and they build a new one, so that it can be useful and people can come to it and it can be used by the public. God does the same thing with our sin. He comes in and he destroys what is useless to us so he can repair it and make something beautiful to put inside of us. Now, those things that he destroys may be an addiction so that you can learn how to be addicted to God. Or he may destroy an unhealthy relationship in your life so that we can learn how to interact with people around us. He may simply destroy our old nature so that we'll be able to live the way he intended us to live and not in bondage. Now, destruction isn't the only thing that comes with God's fire. He's nicer than that sometimes. But God's fire is also a place of testing that we pass through as Christians. God allows trials to come our way so that he can purify us and refine us in the fire. Malachi 3:2-4 says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like the refiner's fire or the launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years." This passage is referring to the coming of the Messiah, or Jesus. And it says that he will be like the refiner's fire. The refiner's job is to take a precious metal and remove all the impurities from it so that it will be worth something and it will be pure. But the fire is what makes that possible. The fire is what it has to go through first to be soft, to be taken apart so those things that don't need to be there can be taken out. And Jesus is our fire. God is our refiner. We have to pass through trials and pass through Jesus so that God can remove our impurities. And those impurities aren't kept. They're tossed aside and burned down to ash. Ash which we find to be completely useless. But God didn't create any part of his precious creation to be useless. He took time to reach down into the dust, which we also count as worthless, and to craft us. He made us in his own image. He took time to uniquely design each and every person, and he made us exactly how he wanted us to be. But all of us have allowed things to come into our life that we need to have turned into ash. Other artists have decided that they need to add to God's creation, and we've let those things become a part of us. And if we hold on to them, we'll never be the perfect individual that God created us to be. But if we let God remove them, chisel them out, turn them to ash, he'll have fresh dust to work with while he repairs his creation. And many different things can make up that ash for us. For some, it could be who we used to be. For others, a hard experience. A lot of the time, the ash in our lives is something that God has purposely turned to ash. He did it on purpose because we don't need it. He took it out and he destroyed it. See, as humans, we have a tendency to be afraid of change. We're kind of scared of it, like we hear that word and we cringe. But when God comes into our lives, he brings fire, testing, and destruction, which will inevitably bring change in our lives. And he comes in to destroy those things that have caused us pain or have turned us into people that he never wanted us to be. And he destroys them so he can replace them with beautiful things. For example, my last year of high school, I went through a really, really hard time. Probably the hardest time I've ever been through in my entire life. I faced lots of rumors about me, and if you want me to be quite honest, I didn't face them well. There was just lots of stuff going on in my church, and man, I hated waking up every morning just to face, hey, what's going to happen next? What does somebody have to say today? And eventually, I was pulled from my church where I had grown up and I loved and placed in another one that I didn't want to be in, and it made me really, really mad. Like, I was a pretty angry person. In the middle of all that happening, I got word that my granddaddy had taken his own life. And that news made me more mad than I have ever been in my entire life. Like, at that point, I stopped caring about everything. School became a safe haven because it was away from my family, it was away from my church. It was just a place where I could not think about anything and just be there. And I definitely wasn't the person that you see here every day. I wasn't like all bouncy and hey and coming up to people for hugs and conversation. I would rather sit in a corner by myself talking to people I wasn't supposed to be talking to, just hoping that everyone would leave me alone, because I had let anger and bitterness take really deep root into my heart. There was two people that I let into my life, and aside from that, I had pretty much pushed everyone away. And by the time all was said and done, these two people had both left my life, whether it was because of something I did in anger or just a fight we had gotten in. And that caused a lot of pain. So now I've got roots of anger, bitterness, and pain just all up in my heart. And I didn't really know what to do with it. And eventually, I got to the point where I decided I should stop ignoring God, and I should let him love me again. And he came in, and he dug those roots out of my life. And I remember that I felt so much better the second that I let go of that anger and that bitterness and let him have it. And he took those roots, and he threw them into the fire. And he completely burned them down to nothing. And I can tell you, like, I can walk over to that pile of ash, pick it up, and hold it in my hands, and I just think to myself, wow. This was a part of me for so long, and now it's nothing. What do I do with it? What goes in its place? And I had a choice in that moment. I could sit there, and I could hold on to this ash, and I could cry and throw a fit about stuff that I had lost. Or I could let it go and walk away from it and let God turn it into something beautiful. And that is what I chose to do. I put it down, and God did something absolutely incredible. He picked up that ash, and he took my anger, and he turned it into joy. And he took my bitterness and my hurt, and he gave me the ability to love people unconditionally, just like he loves me. I recently heard a quote in a sermon, "I don't think God wastes pain." When I heard that, chills ran down my spine. And I thought, well, God doesn't cause pain either. Then I thought about it a little bit more, and I was like, oh, yes, he does. Like I said, God comes in and he molds us and he shapes us and he changes us. And sometimes he has to rip things out of us. And I'm not going to lie to you, that doesn't feel good. But he's not doing it because he doesn't love us. In fact, he's doing it because he loves us. God in no way wastes our pain. And he never leaves us alone in it either. In fact, he's standing right beside us saying, hey, let me take this from you. Stop embracing what hurt you. Why are you wallowing in this pile of ash? It's making you dirty. It's preventing you from being all that I made you to be. Let me have it. And he comes in and he picks us up and he cleans us off and he gets to work with what he's left behind. He knows that that was a part of us and he knows that it still has to be in us. I don't know if you guys have ever seen someone work with stone before, but when they do, it leaves behind a lot of dust. And it breaks pieces off, and eventually they have this beautiful creation before them. But the pieces that they break off, they toss aside. See, God does that with us. He breaks pieces off, but he doesn't toss them aside. He's our original maker, and he knows that those things are still who we are. Instead of casting them off, he just turns them into what he originally intended them to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. That means the old one has to be destroyed so a new one can be made. Our old self is full of things that we strive not to be as Christians. Things like anger, bitterness, pain, temptation. And we look at these things and we stand on our scripture and we say, well, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't feel this way. Well, I'm a child of God, I shouldn't be facing this. Guys, our old self doesn't just magically disappear. When we come to God, it's not like our human attributes leave. God takes us as we are. He doesn't intend for us to stay that way. He comes in and he works in us and he changes us and he molds us, but he doesn't throw away those pieces, like I've said. He instills them back into us exactly how he made them to be. I can't help but wonder how many of us are holding on to ashes. How many of us are in this room with a chip on our shoulder because of a past experience or something that has caused this pain? Maybe we're holding on to something that God has already destroyed. So why are we sitting, weeping in a pile of ash when we could be dancing in the palace of our wonderful Maker? The worship team's gonna come back up and we're gonna play one more song for you guys. When it's over, I'll come back and I'll pray and you'll be dismissed. But during this song, I really wanna challenge you to examine your heart, examine your life. Are you holding on to ashes? Are you clenching them in tight fists, crying over what you think you have lost? If so, what are those ashes and why are you holding on to them? If you need to, pray with the person next to you. Find a mentor or find a professor to pray with you. But don't hold on to your ash.
I wonder if ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a God come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of dust. You make beautiful things. Make beautiful things out of us. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you.
You can stand if you'd like.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things. Out of us. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us.
Making me new.
You make me new. You are making.
so much for this day. I just pray that as we leave this place, we would not forget the message that you've given us today. I pray that we would not stand holding ashes, but we would let you make them beautiful. In your name I pray. Amen.